Good morning. The system works. Okay, so children, I am going to read the passage that we're basing this morning's talk on, and then I'll let you have some activities to do with that. So you need to listen. Everybody needs to listen, but children, you need to listen particularly as well. So we're looking at, the title of this morning's talk is Peace on Earth, Goodwill Towards Men. And that comes from a little passage in the Christmas story in Luke 2. So it says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And we had, on Messy Church morning, we had a flock that consisted of, who was the character who's dressed up? Yoshi, dressed up as a sheep. And they're out there looking after their sheep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. I'm not quite sure what your picture of an angel of the Lord is, but I think sometimes our picture of angels is quite fluffy, quite kind of cute, women in dresses with little wings. But actually it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This was not something cute and fluffy. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Actually, when you read through scripture, quite a lot of angels have to say, do not be afraid, when they appear to people in scripture. I think angels can be quite scary looking beings, and certainly not little and fluffy. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Put your hand up if you're part of all people this morning. Okay, it's good news for you this morning. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels. So one angel brought the message, but actually one angel was not enough to celebrate this message. It needed a great sky full of angels to celebrate this good news, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And this morning, I want to look at peace. And children, I have some things for you to colour, but I also want you to think about, what does peace look like? Actually, as I give this to the children, you might want to think about, what do I think peace looks like? So what does peace look like in your home? What would peace look like in your life? What would peace look like in your city? So Christine, if you're here, I'll let you have those, and there's some spare paper. When we go out on the streets with the outreach team, and we say to people, what would you like us to pray for? Often people ask us to pray for peace, not just in their lives, but in the world. When you look around at Syria, at Brexit, at all sorts of things that are going on in the world, I can see why people might ask us to pray for peace. Peace can be described as a time without fights, a time without wars, a state of harmony maybe, quiet or calm. That's often what the world thinks of when it's thinking of peace. One description I looked at said it was like a pond with no ripples. Imagine your life with no ripples. For many of us, the ripples are external things. I wonder what causes ripples in your life. What are the things this morning that are causing ripples in your life? In the dictionary, peace, it says, is freedom from disturbance. Tranquility, mental or emotional calm, a state or period where there's no war or war has ended, a treaty agreeing peace between warring states, freedom from civil disorder, freedom from dissension, freedom from the difficulties of life, free from anxiety or distress, in a state of friendliness. For me, when I read that, actually what I noticed was the word freedom. Peace looks like freedom. But actually in the Bible it says that the peace that Jesus came to bring doesn't look like the peace that the world thinks of. So why is it that we get asked to pray for peace on the streets when we go out? In Romans 3, it gives us a bit of a clue. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and ruin and misery mark their ways. When you watch the news, you can see a lot of that. And it says, it goes on to say, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So I was struck by that phrase, the way of peace. What is the way of peace? We've heard the online definitions, but peace in the Bible is a Hebraic concept, and it means to join, to tie together in a whole. In a book that was quoted called Not the Way It's Supposed to Be, which I liked as a title, the author describes the Old Testament concept of peace, shalom, as the webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight. Who would like some delight this morning? We call it peace, but it means far more than peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. Actually, it means the way things ought to be. It's not a kind of mindfulness, new agey kind of concept. It's not about getting our mind right somehow. It's about living according to God's divine order. God, man, and creation in alignment as they were designed to be. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about in the Bible. So I wonder what's out of alignment in your life this morning. When we are in alignment with God and how he says things are they ought to be, then we're at peace. Sometimes we're out of alignment because we're not living right. God can't bless a life that's out of alignment easily, can he? He wants to bless us. It talks about glory to God in the highest heaven and on peace to those on whom his favor rests. Who are those on whom his favor rests? How do we know that his favor rests on us? Actually, we've put our life back in alignment with God's order. You might have heard quite a bit over Christmas. I've been reading quite a lot of Isaiah, and Isaiah predicts this coming Messiah that the angels are celebrating in that Luke 2 passage. And I've started back a bit. There's a bit in Isaiah 8, verse 22, where it says, then they will look toward the earth and see only darkness and distress and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Doesn't sound very cheery. But Isaiah 9 starts, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Jesus came to shatter the yoke that burdens us, the rod of their oppressor. For to us a child is born. This is the bit we all hear so often at Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It is good news that the angels brought, that this Messiah has come. But it's not just a gospel of salvation. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It is, in his mercy, it is that. But it's so much more. It's a gospel of a kingdom. He's a king. In Isaiah 9, verse 7, it talks about of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And the clue is in those two. It's his government, it's his reign, it's his rule. And it's that in our lives that brings the peace. It's getting that in alignment so that he's the king, he's in charge, he's on the throne in my life, and then peace comes. So we learn to walk with him in charge in our lives. We allow him to rule and reign in our lives, and peace ensues. Jesus came to establish God's order in the world again, throughout the world. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, everything that kills, steals, and destroys, and the things in your life that are destructive, that are killing things, that are killing joy, that are killing things off in your life, that are killing hope. Those are the things that Jesus came to fight against. It's easy to see the enemy's fingerprints in the world. It's not hard. I could look around into each person's lives in here, and there will be things that are the enemy's fingerprints in your lives. But every place where the enemy has established disorder is defeated because God's order has come into place and we are to enforce God's order. And it starts with peace with God. Romans 5 tells us that Jesus made it possible to stand in the presence of that God that Dale read about in Psalm 145 right at the beginning. That awesome God, that glory of God that shone around, that terrified those shepherds, that's a holy God. The light of his presence is a brilliant light that's too bright. We can't stand in the presence of a God like that. That's the fear of the Lord. That's a, how could I come into the presence of God? It's not a fear and trembling and I daren't crawl into your presence, but it's a, how could I stand in that presence without Jesus? And Jesus came to say, you can come into the presence of Father, but you need my blood to cover you. And so it's our faith in Jesus and his work on the cross that first starts that process of peace. And then you can approach a Father that loves you, a Father that wants you to come, and we can have his peace. Do you have his peace in your heart this morning? Have you invited Jesus to take you to his Father? He wants to bring you to the Father. He wants to show you the Father. He wants to enable you to walk boldly into the presence of a Father that loves you, because you're covered by his blood, and it doesn't matter what you've done because Jesus has paid the cost. That's where the peace starts. And it can be yours if you don't have that this morning. It starts by faith. It says in Matthew 6, one of the very first verses that God kind of highlighted to me reading the Bible when I first became a Christian, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And the key is about seeking God first, putting him first. If I put Jesus on the throne in my life, everything else falls into place. And that verse is a promise. Every time I put God first, every time I do his will first, every time I follow what he says, peace comes, everything else falls into place. When we have peace with God in that way and with ourselves, then we can be at peace with each other. We've just had Christmas, and Christmas for some people is a bit of a stressful time, an interesting time with the dynamics of family and extra family and coming to visit each other and living alongside each other for some time. There are so many expectations. Actually, there's some incredible expectations put on this one day that it can't possibly carry. Christmas has to be this amazing thing. But actually, we have expectations of people. And the reality is, you can't bring me peace. I can't bring you peace. But because Jesus is in my life, because the Prince of Peace is in my life by his Spirit, there's nothing actually that you can do to rob my peace either. Because he's inside me. You can't take that away. So we can lose peace because we give our peace away. But the reality is, if you have the Prince of Peace inside you this morning, nothing can rob you of peace unless you choose to give it away. But holding on to that fact can be difficult, can't it? We take responsibility for things that are not ours. We have expectations of other people, and we allow them to influence our inner world. But the way of peace is an internal peace. It has nothing to do with your external circumstances. It's all about what's going on inside. So therefore, it's a choice. You'll be surprised to hear. And one of the first lessons that I learned as quite a young Christian was the circumstances in my home were difficult. There were times where it was really stressful, where it was really dark, where I was yo-yoing up and down with the emotions that were yo-yoing up and down in my household. Some of you might relate to that. But actually, one day God said to me, "You can choose peace. Because I'm in you, you can choose peace." How can I choose peace? What does that look like? And for some of you today, you're in some really, really difficult situations, really difficult circumstances. But I'm here to say, if you know Jesus and he is in your life by his Spirit, you can choose peace. So it looks like this. It looks like pausing and reminding myself of who's inside me. It looks like, "God, this is what's going on outside me right now. This is my circumstances. This is how I feel. What do you say? What are you doing? Show me things from your perspective." In Revelations, God said to John, "Come up higher." I think for all of us, we need to come up higher. We need to see things from God's perspective. Sometimes we get so stuck down on the ground in our circumstances, we can't see anything. We can't see out. We can't see the good. We can't see anything of hope. We just see the darkness. God, what are you saying? What does your word say? What does it say in Scripture? What do you see in this situation? How can I hold on to hope? What are you doing? Those kind of conversations help us to see things from God's perspective, because we need his perspective. In the last few years, Mum's been yo-yoing in and out of hospitals and all sorts of medicalville. And on the surface, those could be quite stressful times. For me, I'm on the outside in one sense. It's not happening to my body, it's happening to hers. But it's somebody I love. It's somebody I care about very deeply. I don't want to see her in pain. Actually, it's often harder to see somebody you love in pain than to be in pain yourself. And you want to rescue them from it. So where does your peace come from in all of that? Where does your peace come from? I look at the situation and I go, this isn't right, this isn't God. God didn't cause this stuff. This is some of the destructive stuff that the enemy is causing in our lives. This is some of his work. This is his fingerprint. So I pray against it. That's one thing I can do. But actually, that circumstance, whatever happens, cannot rob me of peace. It's okay. God is still on his throne. God has not fallen off his throne, even if Brexit doesn't work right. Even if we get the most horrendous deal, God is still on his throne. Even if I end up without a job, even if I end up ill, even if my children do the most horrendous things, God is still on his throne. I still have the Prince of Peace. Nothing can steal that. So faith, therefore, that way of peace and that faith looks like something. Actually, it looks like obedience. It looks a bit like Mary. When the angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to be pregnant with the Son of God," that had to be a bit of a weird situation. She's very young. She knows that she hasn't been with a man, whatever anybody else might think. She knows it's really unlikely. Actually, downright impossible. But what happens to us in that situation is God says something and we go, "Well, I can't work out how that's going to happen. How can that happen? How can that be?" was her initial response. And it often is, but we have to move past the "how can that be?" and go, "I'm choosing to trust that you know better." So the way of peace for most of us looks like this. It looks like surrender. It looks like kneeling down and saying, "Okay, God, you know better." It says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." God has some very different ways of doing things. And we will not understand everything. Actually, we may not understand anything. And that's okay, because he's God and I'm not. And it's not my job to work out how things happen. It's my job to trust that he is God and I am not. He knows what he's doing. I do not. My job is to go, "What are you saying, God?" And just like Mary, go, "Okay, just as you say." That's the place of peace. Walking in his ways is a place of blessing. He can bless me because I'm surrendered. He can do things with me. He can shower his favor and his love and his blessing on me in that place of surrender. And it's a really peaceful place to be. I don't have to work everything out. I don't even have to understand. I don't have to know how it's going to work. I just have to go, "Okay, God, you've got this. I don't know how you're going to do it. Show me." I wonder if you're willing to be in that place of surrender. For many years, I found, as quite a young Christian, John Wesley's covenant prayer. And I know the Methodists have a kind of covenant service at the beginning of the year, or at least they used to. And that covenant prayer goes like this: "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Those are really, really difficult words. And I used to pray them as quite a young Christian, really not having a clue what I was saying. The implications of some of that. And I think sometimes I prayed it without really thinking. But I'm really challenged by the very first line. Because when I became a Christian, I gave Jesus my life. And the first line says, I am no longer my own, but yours. And so the way of peace is to invite the Prince of Peace into my life, to put him on the throne and say, my life is yours. That is the way of peace. It sounds really difficult, but the Holy Spirit leads us. He helps us. And I only have to do it step by step. I don't have to have it all worked out. I just have to follow his voice. And he leads me into peace. So I just want you to pause this morning. And if any of that resonates at all with you, if there's anything in your heart that says, I don't know if I can do it, God. I don't know what it's going to look like. We've already had people mention this morning, we don't know. Susanna started with that song about we don't know our future, but God does. And we can trust God. So if this morning you think, actually, God, I want to say again yes to you, like Mary did, I just want you to stand. Just where you are, to just stand and say, God, I'm choosing to surrender. I'm choosing again to give my life to you, to say yes to whatever you have got for me in the full knowledge that I can trust you because you are good. Jesus, in this moment, we thank you. We thank you that we can come before a holy God. We thank you that because of your work on the cross, we can be at peace with a holy God. We thank you, God, that we can put our future, our health, our finances, our children, our work, our houses, everything into your hands in the sure and certain knowledge that you are good, that you have good plans, that you know the best for us and the best for the world that we live in, and that your way is a way of peace. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into each heart for each person who stood this morning saying, I choose afresh at the beginning of this new year to surrender to your ways. I choose afresh to lay my life at the foot of the cross. I choose afresh to give you my life. And for some of you in here, if this is the first time you've surrendered to God, please come and talk to me at the end. But we choose, Jesus, to trust in your work. We choose to put no trust in our ability. We choose to put no trust in what we can bring, what we can do, what we can engineer. Holy Spirit, we need you as we go forward. We need your work in our lives to help us walk this way of peace. So would you come and fill afresh those who need fresh strength for this journey. In Jesus' name.